Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined for this full hour by Dr. James Carafano, also known as Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army, retired Jim Carafano. He is one of the guys that we've turned to in the course of 2015 from time to time to assess what's going on with our national and homeland security. He's been kind enough to give us a full hour of his time for a sort of retrospective on 2015 and a look ahead on 2016, and we're very appreciative of that. Jim, we were talking about China. You've mentioned that they are pursuing a kind of zero-sum model with the United States. One of our colleagues, Kevin Freeman, has been talking about for some time the use that the Chinese have been making of a plan that has been called unrestricted warfare, including the use of economic warfare against the United States in order to achieve the kind of hegemony in the region that it seeks and to drive us out of Asia and the Western Pacific. There are obviously a lot of other elements to this, but I just wonder, as you've done, among other things, an important study of economic freedom this year, what you make of the Chinese involvement on that front and what we should be doing in response.
Yeah, I think it's real, and I think there's never a better time to fight back against it. So, you know, a couple of examples. So there are very deepening economic ties between Taiwan and China, and a lot of people said, well, that eventually just means that the Chinese will absorb Taiwan. Well, quite to the contrary. Taiwanese are about to elect a government which is going to be very, very skeptical of relationships with China and very much see themselves as independent. And so it just shows that because you do business with China doesn't mean you become China's subservient whatever, right? And so the U.S.-Taiwanese and the relationship between Taiwan and China, that'll be a key one to watch. The other thing is China's investing, as you know, all around the world for strategic and political reasons. A lot of those investments aren't paying off. And now that the Chinese economy is slowing, sustaining them is going to be very, very difficult. And there's never been a better time for the United States really to press the economic freedom agenda and create competitive alternatives to the Chinese, because at the end, the Chinese won't be able to run with that in the long term. And the other one I think we've got to get very serious about is this Chinese, you want to do business in China, then give us your intellectual property. You know, let us steal from you. Don't pay attention. As a matter of fact, there's I don't know if you heard of this phenomenon, but they force companies to set up joint ventures. One of the things they use them for is called technology laundering, which is just like money laundering, right? So what they do is they steal the technology, then they have a U.S. partner. Then through the U.S. partner, they unveil this new whatever with the stolen technology and say, oh, well, we developed it jointly with this company. And so now this technology is not stolen. It's kind of, oh, it's something that was organically, and they sell it. So it's not just stealing it. It's using American companies to launder technology. I think we've got to bring transparency to that, the rule of law to that. You know, we've got to really press on companies that, you know, giving away the store to do business in China is not worth it. I think if you put that package together, it has two things. Not only does it kind of limit the Chinese kind of very negative influence, but it creates wealth and prosperity and stability in the alternative economies, which in the end are going to be much, much more stable.
Jim, you are, of course, a military man by training and avocation. I'd like to ask you about one other facet of this. You talked about Taiwan and the importance of our relationship with the Taiwanese. There is a rather underwhelming arms deal that has finally been approved by the U.S. government under Obama, as you know, after years of kicking that particular can down the road. The Chinese military has clearly made strides in terms of its capacity to threaten the island of Taiwan, not least of which is their capacity now to essentially keep us away from the kind of reinforcement, resupply, rescue, what have you, that we have historically thought would be an important part of our security interests for the Western Pacific. Talk a bit about these area denial capabilities and the Chinese strategy, and again, what the next president should be doing to restore our ability to support our allies there and our interests as well.
Right. And I do think what we need there is a belt and suspenders approach. We ought to be helping the Taiwanese enhance and improve their self-defense capability, because that is a deterrent. I mean, creating doubt in the mind of the Chinese that they could win and win quickly in Taiwan is very, very important. So people say, well, Taiwan can't hold out against China. That's not the point. It's deterring the Chinese from thinking they can have a quick win and thinking they can do this all before the U.S. is able to get there. That's very, very important. So helping Chinese self-reliance in their defense, submarine force, their own capabilities to shoot down missiles and control sea lanes, super important. But that has to be paired with the United States' ability to demonstrate that we can operate in that theater. So you're right, there's this term is called anti-denial, anti-access, which is if you keep the U.S. military forces under threat, they won't be able to come into the theater, whether that's an aircraft carrier, whether it's protecting our forces in Guam or Okinawa. And so developing the capabilities and the capacity, which is a big word, you know, which we don't talk about enough, is just having enough ships and planes to do that is a big deal. And that really is an hour unto itself. Everything from regional missile defenses, which are incredibly important, to our tactical aviation, you know, what kind of mix of F-35s and F-22s do we do, to undersea capabilities and everything else. But it's important for us to get back into the game, building up our own military. And as you well know, that is really job one. I mean, if there's anything that's happened under this president, it's the decline in the capacity and the capability of America to defend its core interests. You know, we do this project every year called the Index on U.S. Military Strength, where we grade the capability of the U.S. military, not to go and conquer countries, but just to defend our core interests. It's declined every year. And we actually saw the Air Force and the Army dramatically decline over the last year.
This is an extraordinarily important product, by the way, folks. I encourage you, if you don't go to heritage.org for any of the other very important studies and analyses that Jim Carafano is discussing with us in the course of this hour, please make sure you check out this assessment of the adequacy of our military capabilities. And Jim, one of the places where this is particularly worrying to me, in addition to these advanced ballistic missiles capable of reportedly striking and perhaps destroying carrier battle groups at sea, is the degree to which China is now moving, as are the Russians, in a very, very concerted way to secure a dominant position in space. Would you talk a little bit about that and how seriously we should be taking that as well?
That's a great point. When we talk about this kind of military competition, we normally think about planes and ships, and there are these indivisible components that are wrapped around that you really can't forget: space, cyberspace, and really undersea domain. I mean, those are kind of a skeleton that holds the military in place. And yeah, as you well know, because you've done a lot of work on this, I mean, our assured access to space, our ability to get to space and stay there during a conflict, is in grave doubt. And the Chinese have been developing really scary capabilities to affect that. That's a big issue. Cyberspace, I think everybody recognizes the nature of the competition there. But then there's also this undersea domain where, you know, the United States has been so dominant for so long where nobody could challenge us. I mean, we could sail anywhere under the water around the world and nobody could touch us. And nobody could do anything without us knowing about it and being able to stop it. And, you know, right now we can see where that day's coming to an end.
Just before we leave this topic, Jim, one thing that it seems to me always bears mentioning about the space issue is, of course, that's not simply a problem if the Chinese seize and hold the high frontier, as it's been called, for our military, but also for our commercial sector as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people forget how really dependent the modern world is on space architecture. How valuable and how sustaining that resource really important it is. And the problem is, if you start fighting in space, it actually gets pretty hard to start differentiating between military and civilian assets. And for example, most of the U.S. comms or military comms are carried over civilian satellite infrastructure. And then, you know, going back under the sea, you know, as you all know, most of the internet traffic around the world is actually carried on these undersea cables, which would also be something people would fight over.
We're going to pause for just another moment. Our guest is Dr. Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. He runs its Davis Center and is their leading light on foreign and national security policy. And it's always a delight to have a chance to visit with him, especially at such length here at the end of 2015. When we come back, I want to talk with Jim about nuclear capabilities, the growing disparity between our position and that of several of our adversaries, and what that might mean for all of us. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.